Earlier, 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to continue going through the kings, and we've now reached chapter 6. And we want to concentrate upon these first seven verses that we read from 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. I don't wish to highlight any particular verse. Instead, I want to take the passage as a whole. We have here the Lord dealing with a very simple need. A very simple need. We wonder why this is in the scriptures, because it's such a ordinary, everyday thing that has happened here. There's nothing really unique in what's happened other than in the miracle itself. But if we are to learn anything from it, it is to teach us that the Lord is intimately concerned about everyday, ordinary, simple things concerning His people. It's placed in the scriptures here after the healing of Naaman. Now, that was a major thing for Naaman. Leprosy was healed. He was a great man. And the healing had possibly implications between the relationship between Syria and Israel. Because when the king of Israel heard about it, he immediately cast dust upon himself and cut his clothes, because he knew that he himself could never bring about the healing of Naaman. And as we go through chapter 6, we find other notable things are happening. There is a tremendous drought that's come upon Samaria, and then there is the siege of Samaria. So in between this passage here that we're looking at, we have things that are very, very important. They are of international importance. They are of national importance. But here we have something that is of a very simple importance. And if we're to learn anything, friends, from this, we are to learn that the Lord is intimately concerned about our everyday lives and existence. Nothing is beyond what He is concerned about. You might think, for instance, that God is remote and detached. Nothing could be further from the truth. He reminds His people that the very hairs of your head are numbered. And we are to understand that God is intimately concerned about every single one of us. He is not a God who is detached and remote. Here we see God addressing a genuine need. To us, friends, if this had happened, What would we have done? We would simply go down to the hardware store and we would have replaced it. We could easily have done that. But here was one of the sons of the prophets. He had no money. Nothing whatsoever. And in all probability, since he borrowed this axe, he would need to pay back in some way what was at the bottom of the river. Having no money, he would maybe have to work as a slave to pay back this. There was a genuine need. The Lord addressed that genuine need. Again, the Lord is showing His people that He cares for them. And if we might stretch it just a bit further in our introduction, the Lord perceived this need. In other words, the Lord saw this need before it even happened. We are told that Elijah was asked, "Will you go with us?" Verse 3, "I pray thee, go with thy servants." And he answered, "And I will go." They could have gone off to the River Jordan. They could have felled the trees themselves. They didn't, in some sense, need Elisha. But they asked for the presence of the prophet, of the man of God, and he went with them. You may well argue, as indeed I would argue, that this was God preparing them. Because when this incident happened, who did they call upon? They called upon Elisha, who was a representative of the Lord God Almighty. Had Elisha not been there, this miracle would not have been performed. And this man who had a genuine need and a simple need, it would not ordinarily have been addressed. Again, the Lord is showing that he cares for his people. But friends, I want to draw some other lessons from these verses for ourselves tonight. And I want to give a title to the sermon tonight called Growth. Growth. Because I do believe that this sermon would also teach us the necessity of growth. So let us look then, and I want to draw three things from this section for our edification. The first thing, friends, that I wish to draw to your attention is that growth is normal. Growth is normal. Look at it here from verse 1. Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let's remind ourselves of the conditions. Elisha and the sons of the prophets were ministering in a time of apostasy. There was a turning away from the Lord God Almighty. They were serving other gods. But here, the sons of prophets, who we believe were at Jericho at this time, they were together. Whatever building they had, it got to that point when it was too small for them. Why was it too small? It was too small because many people were joining them. Elisha was there. He was servicing this place. He would have been servicing other places on a circuit that he would have gone round. But there at Jericho, the place was far too small for them. And they came to this decision. They decided, look, there's no point in going on like this. We're on top of each other. It's time to take some action. It's too straight for us. We need to go to the Jordan, where the trees would be growing beside the river. Chop down some trees, build a place for ourselves, make it more commodious, because we are growing. It's a wonderful position to be in. And therefore, friends, I put it to you that growth indeed is normal. Is it not normal in the natural? Is it not? Of course it is. Do we not delight when we go, if we have children ourselves, or if we go and visit maybe sons and daughters who have children? Is it not wonderful to see the newborn child, to take the boy or the girl in your arms and to nurse them and to cuddle them and to delight in them? You put them back, then you go away. Depending on where you live, you might not come back for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. What happens? You come back. The child has grown in some sense. You can see a difference. The parents cannot see the difference so much because they are living with the child day after day, although they acknowledge there is growth. But because you have not seen the child for a period of time, you can instantly see the growth. If that period of time between when you first saw the child and when you next saw the child was a matter of a year or years, and you came back and you saw that same child that you once delighted in, and they were exactly the same, that delight would change to alarm. It's not natural. It is natural for the child to grow. Natural. Oh, friends, I put it to you, what is true in the natural is also true in the spiritual. And it should be incumbent upon every single one of us who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we should know something of spiritual growth. Growth indeed is normal. Individual growth, the individual growth of each professing Christian should be normal. It's something that should be expected of us all. Paul, when he wrote to the Hebrews, Those Christians who had been severely tried for their faith and who were about to face a fresh bout of persecution, and because of this they were contemplating going back to the old ways of Judaism, Paul sends them a letter to encourage them that they might go on. And he says in that letter, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, "For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." What is Paul highlighting? What is he lamenting? He's lamenting that those persons, those Christians, have not gone on. They're still looking for milk. They're still dealing in the elementaries of Christianity and of Christian doctrine. They have not gone on to embrace, and they cannot embrace, strong meat. We are to grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that is incumbent upon us, friends. And where there is no growth, it is something that is a cause for alarm and of self-examination. Paul speaks to the Corinthians too. You remember the Corinthian church? Oh, they had wonderful blessings. They were full of spiritual gifts. But he says to them, "Brethren, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. It's obviously clearly taught or recognized in the New Testament that some professing Christians are not making progress. They are not growing in grace. They cannot handle strong meat. They are still babes in Christ. Maybe this has described some of us. Well, friends, we must seek all that we can to grow in grace. We are to become mature. We are to be once grown up and to become full stature. We are not to remain in the primary school. We are to go through the schoolroom of Christ in order that we might serve Him with all our hearts. Here we have a wonderful example of growth. And this should be the normal pattern for individuals, for congregations also. Congregational growth. We find it in the book of Acts. Not long after the church was formed in Antioch, what do we find? The Holy Spirit directing them to set apart Paul and Barnabas that they might go forth with the gospel. And that's what happens. That was the first missionary journey that Paul undertook. Growth. Going forth with the gospel. What happened there in Antioch is exactly what happened here in Jericho. It's too straight for us. Is it not true that in some sense the world is our parish? And there are no places out of bounds. And congregational growth is something that we must look for, long for, pray for, work for, and expect as normal. Obviously, friends, all I'm saying, we undergird with this fact that God is sovereign. But sometimes we might use the fact that God is sovereign as an excuse. The fact that God is sovereign in the salvation of sinners should be a motivating influence for us. It should, friends, fire us up, realizing that our success does not depend upon us, but upon the living God. Growth is normal. Individual growth, congregational growth, and the growth of the church itself. The Lord has given us a wonderful commission. Go, go into all the earth. And that's what happened to the disciples. They waited until the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. What happens? They preached the gospel in Jerusalem, and then in Judea, and then into Samaria, and then into the ends of the earth, so that today the gospel is among us. Growth, as we find it here, even in times of difficulty, times of apostasy, is certainly to be worked for, hoped for, expected, because growth is normal. Well, the second thing I want to draw from these verses is, if growth is normal and growth is to be expected, how is growth achieved? How is it achieved? I can't quote any specific instances, but I'm sure if you went on the internet, you would find a multitude of resources, maybe speakers, conferences, all along this church growth theme. How is it to be achieved? How is growth to be achieved? Is this not a question that we ask ourselves? Well, I do believe this passage will give us some answers. And we would find that growth is achieved in two ways, or by two ways. First of all, our text tells us, every man a beam. Verse 2, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. In other words, friends, they were to leave where they were, the place they were to leave it, all of them. And they were to go to the Jordan. However inconvenient it was, they were to go. Every single one of them was to take their tool with them, and they were to cut down the trees themselves. They were to build these things, every man. All were involved in it, no exceptions. Sometimes people might look to the minister or the office bearers or others to do things in the church and in the congregation. Well, friends, the scripture would teach us that every single Christian has this responsibility. If we are citizens of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is a wonderful privilege to belong to Him, to be His servant. And the Lord has given each and every one of us something to do. None of us can sit back. We all can do something. No, we can't all do everything the same. We don't have the same talents and gifts and graces and opportunities. That is true. But the Lord has given none of us our P45s. Every man a beam. Every individual. You will have opportunities to serve the Lord Jesus Christ that others will never have. You will have contacts with other people that no one else in the congregation will have. You will have opportunities to rub alongside other people that we will never see, and only you will see. Every man a beam. That's why I read that other passage in Mark chapter 14. Mary, we do believe, anointed the Lord just before His crucifixion and burial. And she was extravagant there. The ointment was worth a year's wage, a considerable amount of money in these days, in any day, a year's wage. She poured it out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do we find? Those there were grumbling. They were looking at what she did. Oh, it should have been sold and the money should have been given to the poor. But Jesus rises up and he defends her. What does he say? She has done what she could. You know, she couldn't stand up and proclaim the gospel. She couldn't stand up and provide a discussion or a debate with someone else. She couldn't argue about the gospel with an unbeliever. She couldn't do these things. But oh, she loved the Lord Jesus Christ and she was prepared to do what she could for him. Every man a beam. This was her beam. This is what she did to advance the cause and kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus rewarded her accordingly. He said, whatever this gospel shall be proclaimed, what she has done will be recorded or said as a memorial for her. We all have gifts, we all have talents, we all have opportunities. We are to take these things, every man a beam. We are to find and identify these opportunities and serve the Lord in any way that we can. That's how growth is achieved. Not just one person or two people doing this. It's a united, consecrated effort. It is a united effort of us all to recognize our responsibilities, to delight in the privileges of being able to identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus and take up our beams and serve him in our day and generation. Well, growth is achieved by everyone playing their part, and there are no exceptions. There were no exceptions here. All of them left whatever they were doing, their studies, whatever. They all went. And every man took a beam. But that's all very well, friends. It's good to be industrious. It's good to be out working for the Lord and whatever opportunities come to us. But there's something else that's needed. Something else that is indispensable. It is the presence of the Lord. It is the presence of the Lord. Verse 3, we are told, and one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. Elisha was asked, come with us. He was representing the great God of heaven. And he was prepared to go. And of course, we know what happened as a result. He was able to perform a miracle for them. But friends, the lesson we want to draw from this is the fact that we need the presence of God. All our work, all our labor, well-intentioned, industrious as it may be, will not bring about growth unless the Lord is with us. And therefore, this should cause us to cry out like the sons of the prophets here, come with us. Go with thy servants. Go before us. Help us. Undertake for us. Be the one that breaks open the way before us. Lead us and guide us. Draw us to individuals that we might have profitable conversations. Help us in all that we do. We cannot do it ourselves. No matter how skillful we may be, no matter how well we might speak, no matter how industrious we may be, we need the presence of the Lord. And friends, I do believe that these two things, everyone doing their bit and calling upon God that he might be among us, they are the very key elements in growth. If we want to grow individually, we must know the blessing of the Lord upon us. As a congregation, it's exactly the same. The church, the great gospel church, they must know this also. Everyone doing their bit, calling upon God for his blessing. Well, the third thing that I would like to draw from this passage is we are taught here divine power working through the church. He was getting on great, this son of the prophet. He was working away. He was chopping down his beam as best as he could. Maybe he wasn't a very skillful lumberjack. He was probably much better proclaiming the Word of God or reading the Word of God. That's what he was hoping to do eventually. But he did some manual work. And maybe he wasn't the best manual worker. But anyway, he gave it his all. And as he was seeking to chop down the tree, what happens? The axe head comes off and it flies into the water. The man's in a real predicament. He cannot in any sense find it. He cannot recover it. He doesn't have the finance to buy a new one. He's in a predicament. And of course we know what happened. Elisha finds it and restores it to him. But surely there is a spiritual lesson for us in this miracle. Surely it's more than just a practical miracle. Surely there is a deeper lesson for us, without, of course, distorting the Word of God. Here was an individual who was getting on well, using the axe with the axe head, and then suddenly it's gone. What could he do? He could carry on his work simply with the handle. What would happen? Nothing. He couldn't possibly chop down a tree without the axe head. He would be there till doomsday. It just wouldn't work. It reminds me, friends, of Christians who are seeking to live the Christian life and who are seeking to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever ministry they may be. And it might not be an official ministry, whatever. But somehow they were once upon a time serving the Lord with gusto, and they had, as it were, the axe head upon their work, and they were making progress. They were cutting into the work. They were getting on well, but suddenly the axe head has gone. And they are still seeking to serve the Lord just with the handle. And what do we find? They have lost joy in the Christian life. They have lost their edge. They have lost their sparkle. They have lost their effectiveness. They are keeping on things. They are keeping up an appearance, but somehow there's something lacking. And what is lacking is they don't have the Holy Spirit working in their lives as they once knew. Maybe we can identify with this. Maybe we're simply going through the motions. There's no life in our prayer life. Nothing like what it used to be. There's not the same life that we once had in reading the Scriptures. We used to delight before when we read the Scriptures. We do feel that God spoke to us. Or we don't look for audible voices, but somehow we felt God was speaking to us in the Scriptures. But now we seem to be bereft of His presence. Now we come to the house of God and we no longer enjoy the means of grace as we once did. What has happened? The axe head has come off and we're left simply with a handle and we're going through the motions. Has your service for the Lord Jesus Christ lost its zeal, lost its effectiveness? Friends, it's a serious thing. We need to consider these things because growth will not be possible unless things are restored. And of course, This is what the man did. He recognized the problem and he went straight to Elisha. Let's be clear, Elisha was just like ourselves, but Elisha represented the Lord our God. He represented the God of heaven, and God was working through Elisha. And therefore he knew that Elisha could address his problem. And if we're honest with ourselves, if we can identify that we have simply got the handle without the axe, what must we do? We must return to the Lord. We must cry out to him that he might make us effective again, that he might renew to us the joy of our salvation, that we might delight again in Christian service, and that we might be effective. Oh, to be effective. But I simply believe, in closing, friends, that this axe head at the bottom of the Jordan again reminds us of our need of God, of how we are powerless. Because, friends, does it not remind us when we see this axe head at the bottom of the sea, separated from the handle, does it not remind us, friends, of man who is dead and trespasses in sins and who cannot save himself? And no matter what the church may do, we may preach the gospel, we may witness, we may try to get alongside people, we may give them tracts or Bibles, and we may try to evangelize them, but ultimately we need the Lord our God. We need him. This is what the church is all about. Divine power working through the church. Miracles. Oh, friends, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about healing people who are sick. Far from it. I'm talking about a much greater miracle than that. Because by nature, all are dead in trespasses and sins. All are spiritually dead. It doesn't matter our background, doesn't matter our education, it doesn't matter about these things. We may be morally upright, we may be perfect in the sight of man, but if we are still in a state of nature, we are dead in trespasses and sins. And no preacher and no church can change that. But the living God can. And the living God works through the church. And this is what we should be seeing in the church. There should be clear evidence of God working in our day and generation. We should be seeing miracles. We should be seeing people made new creations in Christ. And that's what we must pray for. And when we see this axe head, humanly speaking, lost, perishing, and yet Elisha, through the Spirit of the living God, was able to find it, and then for that axe head to float and to be restored to its axe head and ultimately to its owner, displays to us, friends, the power that God works through the church. Let me ask you then, do we know anything of this power ourselves? Do we know anything of this spiritual resurrection? Do we know anything of this life from the dead? Do we know this coming out of a spiritual grave? We must know these things. Not just intellectually, not just theologically, but we must know it experimentally. This must be true for us. God working through his church. God blessing the preaching of His Word. New creatures in Christ. Growth, friends. Growth is normal. Growth is achieved by each playing their part, depending upon God. And growth will come when the Lord works through His church, raising the dead to new life in Christ. Amen. And may God bless His word to us. Let us pray together.